And now that the tax cuts have been signed into law, it's not a bad idea to start thinking about your personal finances for 2018. Joining us with her thoughts is Jill Schlesinger, business analyst with CBS News and host of Jill on Money. Her podcast is Better Off. Hi, Jill, and Merry Christmas.
And to you as well.
So let's start with taxes, because that is on everybody's mind right now after the passage of the big Republican tax cut bill. How does that affect how we should financially plan for next year?
You know, I think it makes it really hard. Normally, I put my certified financial planner hat on and I tell people to do the things that we always tell them to do. But this year, it's going to be so difficult to gauge. I think before the end of the year, you don't have to really do a ton of stuff. If for some reason you think you're an itemizer this year and you're going to claim the standard deduction next year, maybe you would accelerate paying property taxes or give a charitable contribution this year rather than next year. But for most of us, you don't have to do that much. Honestly, the best thing you can think about is, how does this impact your cash flow, and how should that change or not change what your long-term game plan looks like?
Well, if you do have a little extra cash coming in, what should you do with that?
Oh, my favorite thing to do is when Uncle Sam gives you a gift, please get it to work as fast as you can. Even if it's not that much, it's $100 a month, $200 a month. Crank up your retirement plan contribution by that amount, or even a little bit less than that. I'll split it with you. You can spend half and save half, but get it going automatically. If you do that, you really won't miss it. You never had this money to begin with. So if you just took that money and said, oh, I'm going to bump up my 401k or my 403b or my Roth IRA contribution, especially if it's not a huge amount, that's when we tend to just sort of lose track of it. So get it to work.
Okay, get it to work. But what if you want to take some money off of the sidelines and put it into the market? Have you missed your opportunity because it's gone up by so much?
I face this question all the time. I think you've got to be honest with yourself. Did you sit out because you were really freaked out during the downturn and therefore maybe you shouldn't be a big time investor and maybe you just have to take it easy and take rotten returns for a while? If, however, you feel like, hey, I finally have some money and I can invest, you want to go slowly and you're not going to try to pick the top or the bottom of the market. Don't wait for something to happen. Chances are, it's the day after you invest, if you're a first-time investor, the market will go down. I can almost guarantee that. But what you really need to think about is, what is my long-term game plan here? And don't get spooked. I mean, look, people who invested in the stock market maybe in October of 2007, they had to live through the whole horrible downturn in the financial crisis. But if they stuck to their game plan and they didn't take on too much risk, chances are they're ahead of the game right now. So that's a pretty good sign that if you stick with your game plan for the long term, you should be okay.
Do you think that 2018 is going to be a year in which we go into recession?
I'm the worst person to predict that. I generally think that the longer this whole expansion goes on, obviously the higher the risk is for a recession. But that said, the big picture of the world is that we're seeing growth. And it's not just in the U.S. It's this sort of synchronistic growth that's occurring in lots of different places. So with that backdrop and with interest rates still pretty low and this tax cut, which it may not long-term add to a ton of growth to the U.S. economy, but certainly in the short run it should. It's hard to see how that happens, and I'm going to put a little asterisk on that. If growth starts to crank up a little bit more than expected, we could see the Federal Reserve maybe start to raise rates faster than we anticipate. And could that snuff out not only a stock market rally, but the recovery? Absolutely. So things can happen all the time. You don't invest or not invest based on whether you think there is going to be a recession, because chances are you're investing for the next 20, 30 or 40 years.
If you decide at the beginning of the year to reevaluate your investments, how do you do that? What should you be looking at?
Well, I think the first thing that you look at the end of the year is you say, how'd I do? But you really want to be careful to compare your performance against the relevant benchmark. So if you are a young growth investor, yes, you can look at the U.S. stock market as a sort of a guidepost. But if you are someone who is very risk averse and you basically own stocks and bonds in equal proportions, then don't go complaining to your spouse like, hey, honey, you were a rotten investment advisor or your broker or your advisor and say, you know, you only gave me a portion of the upside of the market because you are not investing only in the market. It's also important if you did like a lot better than the market. For some reason, I would also look at that and say, am I taking on a lot more risk than I realized?
I am looking right now at a retirement account that I have, and it is up 26% this year. I don't know if I'll ever see that again for the rest of my life, right? But it's tied to the market, and the market's done very well.
And the market's done well. And you know what? Let me just say this out loud in front of our entire audience. You are a genius, Jeremy.
Yes. I picked one of the three options, and I guess I did right.
You did incredibly well. You know, the other part of looking at what's going on in your portfolio is to look at what is the cost of your investing. We still have so many people who are invested in these managed mutual funds that have much higher fees than they need to have. I know not for every single asset class, but for the vast majority of us, like, why are you paying somebody that extra 1% to quote unquote manage your funds when you could keep that money yourself and just pick an index fund?
So when does it make sense to actually have a financial advisor then?
I think that a lot of people are going to find that they want an advisor or a CPA because their tax lives may have just gotten quite a bit more complicated because of this law. If you work right now with a broker or an investment person, the new year is a great time to go into your plain old, you know, annual meeting and you say, you know, can you remind me again, how exactly do I pay you? I mean, I'm always shocked at how much people don't realize that they are paying these people based on transactions or based on the fund fees. The other thing to ask is, because the rule change from the Department of Labor around this concept of fiduciary, putting your client's best interest first, that's actually off the table right now. It would not hurt you to go ask an advisor, a broker, a salesperson, are you held to the fiduciary standard? Are you selling me stuff, or is it the case that you are putting me first? And I also think that for many people, they want advisors to do something that they themselves could do. And, you know, I sort of think about this as sort of five big things in a financial life that you really can do yourself and you don't need to go to an advisor. You should be paying down your credit card and auto loan debt and student loan debt. You should absolutely have 6 to 12 months of living expenses in a safe place. That's called your emergency reserve fund. You should be maxing out your retirement plan. $18,500 is the limit in 2018. And then I would put two other items on your to-do list.
Okay.
One is to make sure that you actually are properly insured. And that could be everything from, do you have a renter's insurance policy? Did we have enough storms this year to prove to you that actually having some kind of insurance can be very important? Do you need life insurance? And the last one, I am begging you. I am on bent knee right now, Jeremy Hobson, asking you and everyone else to please prepare your estate documents, meaning putting down on paper what you want to happen if something bad were to occur in your life. Still, not enough people are doing this.
All right. I am going to leave you now with my piece of financial advice. And I give this to a lot of people that I meet. And I can't believe that they need this advice, but they do, which is do not carry a balance on your credit card.
Do
ever,
not
right?
ever.
You agree
never.
With me on that.
Yes, because I agree with everything you say, Jeremy. I think you know that by now. We've known each other long enough. Don't do that. I'll go one step further. And that is, when you're contemplating any financial decision, don't only look at your upside potential. Don't look at the most optimistic side. Look at both the upside and the downside, and then ask yourself which one of those possibilities is more realistic and which one is going to impact me more. Because if you're taking a swing, you know, on Bitcoin, and you put all, you say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to cash out my IRA. I'm going to take a distribution. I'm going to pay the fee. I'm going to put it all on Bitcoin, and you lose it all, then you are a dope and you've just done something really dumb to yourself.
And you also could end up like the Winklevoss twins. You just never know with Bitcoin.
Yes, and they had a little head start on the rest of us, so that was true.
Good for them.
Yeah, exactly.
Jill Schlesinger, business analyst with CBS News and host of Jill on Money. Thanks as always.
Great to talk to you, and I look forward to speaking with you in the new year, Jeremy.
You too. Happy New Year.